Hey there, welcome to Rewind Rewatch. I am the oldest sibling, Andrine.
And I'm her brother, Joel. And we are siblings that decided to make a podcast about the thing that we love, 90s movies.
Yes. I mean, we love everything 90s anyway. But for this podcast, what we want to do is basically look at 90s movies and then discuss whether or not they've aged well based on today's standards.
So we'll think about the themes, some of our favorite quotes, and at the end, we will rate these movies on a scale from 1 to 5 rewinds based on how likely it is for us to rewatch them again.
How do you think we'll rate your favorite 90s movies? You gotta listen in to find out.
There were 5 selections on what you sent me, and this was the best of the 5. So don't point fingers at me.
I am looking for the hate we're gonna get back.
They could have pulled his skin apart like Evil Dead.
Come here, hug me, Dad. Can we go get coffee?
John seems like a nice guy, but he talks a lot of porn in his house.
Hello, and welcome to Movie
Smash!
Hello, and welcome to Movie Smash, the show where you dive headfirst into comic book movies outside the MCU. If you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. If you've been here before, you know the drill. Each episode, we're going to smash a movie whose source materials are a graphic novel or a comic. Is it worth revisiting? Should it be forgotten? Let's find out. This is Movie Smash. I'm one of your hosts, Chris Roberts. I'm the founder of Off Panel Creations. With me today, I have a person who's known me for over 30 years and still talks to me, Jeremy Parmentier.
Yeah, Jeremy Parmentier. Currently, I have very bad taste in friends, but also I'm one of the hosts of Retrovaniacs, the gaming podcast, and the world's number one biggest Nermal fan.
Also with us today are comic historian and lasagna aficionado, Fergal Amayo.
Well, I don't know if it's lasagna as much as it is my baked ravioli, which will make you see heaven. But on top of that, I am Fergal Amayo, Gotham Knight Comics, where we nerd out. However, this is one of those movies where we don't quite nerd out. We nerd in.
Before we jump to the movie, guys, the Fantastic Four trailer dropped recently, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on it.
Brilliant. The whole thing has been about trying to reset a universe, right? Like trying to reset what they did once that, quite frankly, is incredibly difficult to do. I was just having a conversation on this. And so for what I saw, you know, you tack that along with Born Again, the new Daredevil trailer, and you look at these two things and you're starting to really get your eyes around common accurate representations of the Fantastic Four, as well as from what I understand, and this is all conjecture, so please don't take it at anything more than that, they are actually bringing in all of the different Fantastic Fours as part of the Reed Richards Council, which is going to be dope. So,
yeah, I was actually pretty excited because on the previous Fantastic Four movies, the Thing always looks bad. No matter what you do, Thing looks pretty terrible. And I was a big Fantastic Four guy, so I was always kind of disappointed. I think it looks really good, I have to say. I mean, I haven't seen the whole movie, obviously, but just the trailers look good. But also Galactus looks good. He's not a stupid cloud. And Silver Surfer looks like could be Silver Surfer could be fine. So I'm actually pretty excited
for
that.
Did you see Silver Surfer? Because I didn't see Silver Surfer.
It's not in the first trailer. There's a trailer number 2, like reveal number 2 that has Silver Surfer shot.
Oh, I have not.
Now, to be fair, I'm assuming that's authentic and real. The rest of it was, but you know, at this point, there's so much stuff on the internet that may not be real. So maybe that's someone's fan video that I thought was trailer number 2. But the rest of it was stuff I saw in the previous trailer, clips of things, some other angles of shots of Galactus, and then you do see Silver Surfer kind of come down on the surfboard. So, I mean, it looked good. It looked good. So, I'm excited for it. So,
it's a woman Silver Surfer, yes. Just so you know. It's the female version of that, but it's not so much what it does. The movie's exciting, right? If you think about it in terms of, and boy, this gets me excited, multiversal, this is going to be uniquely different because this universe sits as sort of a prime universe that knows of other universe existence. It's sort of blends 1960 with 2051 and puts them all together. So it gives you all the technology, but still that 1960s aesthetic. Awesome. I'm going to dig it. And then Reed Richards and Sue Storm have the baby. It's all about Franklin Richards. This movie is literally, besides everything else, it's about Franklin Richards as well.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good. I mean, I like the aesthetic for it. I like the fact that it looks different than the other Marvel movies that have been out there, that sort of same color, the same, you know, style that they've all been having lately. So looking forward to it. I don't know much about the actual history of the storyline they're stealing from or borrowing from. I did see the one with the Silver Surfer in there, and I think it is a female Silver Surfer at the end of the day. Yeah, so, but that is not our movie today. Our movie today is from the director of Bill and Ted's Bogus Adventure. Peter Hewitt brought us 2004's Garfield the Movie. starring Breckenmeyer, Jennifer Love Hewitt, and Bill Murray.
It's not something he wanted. It's just something that's always been there. Every second, it grips him from within. It's his destiny, his power, his curse. Who is he? He's Garfield.
My life has been saved by the miracle of lasagna.
As always, Fergal, can you give us a little background on the comic itself?
Well, I mean, so Jim Davis created Garfield, you know, based on his hometown, Muncie, Indiana, based on a cat that he sort of kind of adopted a lot of different theories around this cat. And it's been around since 1978. It's actually been syndicated. It's a nationally known comic book or comic strip. So if you grew up reading a newspaper of any kind before, say, you know, the internet took over the world, then you know Garfield. Like, it's one of your favorite, you know, Doomsday or Doomsbury and Garfield were two of the best ones in there. And The Far Side. So these were the three things I would look forward to.
So, guys, was this the first time you saw Garfield?
Yes. This is actually the first time. I never get to say that. So, yes, this was the first time I saw this movie.
I could have sworn it was, but as I'm watching it, I was like, I know what's going to happen next. I must have watched this movie at some point, which is bizarre because this is 2004. It's a Garfield movie clearly made for children. And yet I knew all the beats before they happened. And there's nothing crazy here. You're not going to be like, you won't believe what they did next. It's exactly what you think they're going to do next. But still, like, it was like, so I don't know when I would have watched this. My kids clearly didn't see this. They're not old enough to have cared about Garfield. So did I, like, at some point at 30 decide I was going to watch the Garfield movie one night? I must have. That's the only explanation I have. But then I watched it again for this episode today.
It's funny you say that. For me, I swear this was my first time watching this movie. You're right. There are a lot of scenes where I'm like, I remember Jennifer Love Hewitt doing something with Garfield. I remember Bill Murray's voice as Garfield. And I don't remember seeing trailers for it. So I probably had it in the background on TBS or something at one point, maybe fell asleep to it, the TV running at 2 o'clock in the morning. But beyond that, that's really all I know about it. As for the character itself, I'm assuming, guys, you guys knew who Garfield was before we saw this movie.
Well, interestingly enough, both of you will refuse to admit that you've seen this movie. And I actually am looking at a gentleman that says number one Nermal fan. I know he saw this in theaters. Like, I know you snuck in as a single ticket buyer with a big ass tub of popcorn and were like, no one is going to find me in a matinee watching Garfield. This is where I need to be at. But your question was, again, what did we take from the movie? Because I completely lost.
You were familiar with the character Garfield.
Oh, Guinness World Record has this as the most syndicated comic strip ever. So, yeah, we knew Garfield.
I mean, you could have still missed the comic. I mean, for all I know, you never read Sunday morning comic books.
It was a daily comic. Any newspaper had Garfield every day, but it was the highlight of the Sunday comics because it was a color insert that your dad took out. And he would pretend he didn't read it, but he did. And then you'd read just the comics, and you'd be excited about Garfield and Calvin and Hobbes and Peanuts, even though there's nothing actually funny about Peanuts. But you'd read all those things every week. But Garfield was always a highlight because for three panels, for a regular strip, it's perfectly set up. It's just a situation, a punchline, or a situation, a buildup, and a punchline. Every one of them is very three. It works very well in a three-panel comic. And I still like Garfield in general, like the comics. I don't like rush out to find them. If I see a Garfield strip, I'll read it. But the funniest thing I've seen online in a long time about Garfield is the Garfield Without Garfield strips. Just search Garfield Without Garfield. It's a whole bunch of strips of John just acting insane because they removed Garfield from every strip. So, like, it'll be John walking by and then nothing. And then it's him running in. His hair's crazy. And he goes like, my meatballs. And that's the whole strip because whatever Garfield did, they've removed from it. It's amazing. But yes, I'm very familiar with Garfield as a kid. Like, any book fair you had at the school, you'd get a Garfield book. Like, I had all those. So very familiar with Garfield as a written comic. And again, the cartoons, they had cartoons when we were kids, Saturday morning cartoons with that and U.S. Acres is a split thing. And that's why on the cartoon, it was not Bill Murray's voice, but it was a guy trying real hard to sound like Bill Murray. So when they had Bill Murray cast as the voice of Garfield in this, you're like, oh, it makes total sense. It was a guy pretending to be Bill Murray for years. We got put the big money out for a movie. We can get Bill Murray himself.
Yeah, he's actually the same guy that voiced Bill Murray's character in The Real Ghostbusters.
Yes.
Dr. Venkman. So for me, I used to draw Garfield a lot back in school. It was one of my favorite characters. Every book fair, you buy one of those books, those compendium books.
Scholastic fair, yes.
Still, never saw that movie. So for our listeners, quick spoiler warning. If this is your first time joining us, just a heads up. We're going to be discussing the elements of a Garfield movie. And we're going to contain some spoilers about Garfield. And to be honest, it's just a Garfield movie, so there's really not much to it. They're pretty much all the same thing. But to be fair, just consider yourself warned. So, Jeremy, why don't you walk us through the plot? This very thick, complicated plot of Garfield.
It's very detailed. This is Garfield's origin story. It starts out with him on a planet. No, it's Garfield. So you see John Arbuckle, who's a cartoonist. Everyone else in this movie is live action, completely, except for Garfield himself. All the other animals are actual animals, although some have weird CG faces, which is less than exciting. But other than that, it's the story of Garfield and his owner, John. And John is in love with a veterinarian. And so he decides to take Garfield to the vet all the time. And she says, I have something I really need to ask you. And it's for him to adopt a dog, Odie. So the movie is entirely about Garfield coming to terms with a new pet in the house, this dog, Odie, because she doesn't like. And Odie manages to somehow, at a dog show, start dancing in front of everybody, causing this TV weatherman who's very excited about getting more famous in New York to see this and decide he's going to find this dog and get rich off of him. So he doesn't necessarily kidnap him. I think that's a very gray area, but he managed to acquire Odie, and Garfield has to save the day by getting him back. That's it. That's the whole plot. In fact, that's more detailed than probably any synopsis of this movie has ever been.
It's almost Odie's origin story.
It really is.
It's actually funny. Both of you are actually telling the origin story of Ted. Do you guys realize that? You're literally word for word, Mr. Normal fan. You just told the origin story of Ted.
I was going to say that's probably not by accident. I would really bet they were just like, let's do the same thing.
That's a pretty tried and true story.
This movie's got just a few characters in it. And of course, the biggest character being Garfield, played by Bill Murray from Osmosis Jones fame. How was Garfield as a character?
I think it's important to state that Garfield was the only animated cat in the... Jeremy, I believe you did say that.
I did.
But it's also interesting how far they went in the other direction for Odie. Because doesn't Odie have a very long head and a big tongue that sticks out with big red floppy ears? So just the fact that it was an incredibly smart, almost human-like dog. He's the only dog that didn't talk, by the way. The rat talked, but he didn't talk. He just barked.
Well, because Odie doesn't talk in the comics either. All the other characters talk, not Odie, because he's that stupid.
I think only Normal and Garfield talk.
John talks.
But Normal, John's a human. It makes sense that John talks, although it is always confusing of whether or not John understands what Garfield's saying. It turns out he does not.
Who is Normal? Which one was Normal? Who did
Normal was the little gray cat. He wasn't in this movie at all. It was the little gray cat that Garfield hated because he was too cute.
Too cute. I know in the comic he was definitely super cute. He was
I weirdly remember this. There was a comic where in Garfield where they did have a talking rat. So I think it's just the animals can talk except Odie because he's stupid.
Okay.
Now, wasn't he a beagle in the comic strip?
He was a beagle. That's what was making this whole thing a little off the beaten path for me. And by the way, that wasn't a rat. That was a mouse.
Oh, sorry.
So it was a mouse. I believe that it was Nick Cannon played the mouse, if I'm not mistaken. He was the really cool mouse that was like, these are my people. Or this is my cat. Leave him be.
Now, John is played by Breckin Meyer from Road Trip. For those who know that movie.
Pretty much it.
Yep. And Rat Race.
And how'd he do?
Just like he did in Road Trip and Rat Race.
Yeah, he kind of plays the straight man in this and in those movies, really. He's like the normal guy you're supposed to kind of like. But, you know, it's really hard to talk about where these characters go. This is clearly a children's movie. This is not a movie that looks like a kid's movie, but then there's a bunch of, like, Garfield's dick isn't hanging out at any point. Like, this is a children's movie. So, did they act fine in a children's movie? Sure. Sure, he did a great job of being a guy you'd kind of like. He does nothing where you're like, John seems like a nice guy, but he has a lot of porn in his house. Like, he just seems like a nice dude. So he does a great job of being a
probably has a closet full of porn. I mean, he has a big house for being a cartoonist, number one. And he is certainly loving on. And by the way, I'm just going to say it outright. Jennifer Love Hewitt, who was the love interest in this movie, is unbelievably hot.
Yeah.
Just going to put that out there. Just going to. And now, I don't know if you've seen her in 9-1-1. Now she looks more like she would cut you if you made her mad. But back then, she looked really hot.
That could be hot, too. It can be very hot.
Could be just a long day.
I think you're right, because obviously it's a kid's movie. The characters are very flat. It's just to give you a bunch of laughs, you know, jokes of, like, you know, Garfield kicking the dog off the couch over and over again. My kids watched this with me, and they laughed at all the Garfield-Odie interaction.
Correct.
They did not laugh at the jokes. Yeah, they didn't laugh at the jokes of, Garfield talking to the camera, breaking the fourth wall a little bit, or any of the basic interactions of Garfield, but really the interaction between him and the dog, they thought it was amazing how real that looked, given that Garfield is a CGI character.
And then until someone actually picks him up, then it's not real. their hand goes inside of his fur. And then it's like, where did Garfield go? That was not great.
That's not how it looks when you pick a cat up. I mean, I got a dog, so I have no idea.
I don't know if that's the way it's supposed to look.
It depends on the cat you have. Sometimes they just bite you when you pick them up. It really depends on the cat.
Now, the villain of our story was Happy Chapman.
Happy Chapman.
Played by Stephen Tobolsky. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. And he's from the movie Groundhog Day.
He's Ned.
He's Ned. Ned Ryerson. Who actually... Ned, is that you? Come here, hug me, Ned. Let's go. Are you busy? Can we go get coffee?
I imagine, like, Fergal, given your daytime job, that you are that character.
Ned, I hope to God not. Like, I don't think so. I'm more like a what do you call it? What's his name? Colin Firth from The Kingsman. That's how I view my daytime
job. Oh, that is quite the dichotomy of character. That's like a big gap.
Yeah, it's not really. Is it because my hair doesn't quite look like him? I'm trying to figure where you're getting the gap from. But yeah, there's a gap there.
I guess, guys, we should really just go in and talk about the plot of the movie, some of the scenes, because there's not many characters other than the other animals in this movie.
Well, it's King Roland. I think he played some interest. And King Roland was definitely like set the world on fire when he released the hounds, literally. Because it was King Roland that released the hounds. Remember, I did have to actually sustain and watch this movie. I would have YouTubed it, but I had to sustain. I did fast forward through some parts, but I had to sustain and watch the film. So I know Roland set free all the animals.
I know at this point, we have not released that episode Spawn where you talked about you just watched Spawn via YouTube videos. I am looking for the hate we're going to get back from saying, I can't believe you didn't actually watch the movie.
I know the movie by heart. I don't have to watch Spawn. I just had to familiarize myself with tight scenes to get the memory flowing again.
So guys, what was, if you had to pick a favorite scene from this movie, what would it be?
Oh, the credits. There's all the interactions with Garfield and Odie in the house. They're fine, but really the dog show is like the peak of the movie, right? The dog show. First off, why would you bring a dog that's not performing at the dog show to a dog show? Now, I don't go to a lot of dog shows. Maybe people do that, but I have two dogs and I don't even like to take them around one other dog that's on a walk. I can't imagine taking them to a dog show, especially unleashed, just like, hey, we'll hang out, you and me, at this dog show. So chaos happens. All these things occur. Garfield isn't supposed to be there. He sneaks in. So I don't blame John for having Garfield at the dog show, but it happens, all this chaos occurs, and that's where Odie decides he's going to do the dance. I guess that Garfield and him were doing at the house previously. I think that's the tie-in. It's not like it's hard to draw A to B, but it's so direct that I'm like, maybe that's what they're saying. It's too much like, this is the one thing Odie does, and he does it here. So it works out, but that's the only real scene that's notable. There's that, and then the end sequence where they're in the train station. Like, that's it. That's the two scenes of the movie.
No, the rats. When all the rats came up, that was the best scene in the whole film.
That's in the train station.
But that's no.
That's in the city.
I'm talking about when it's the city. It's before. It's again.
Oh, when they're walking. Yes, you're right.
I think the number one normal fan may have YouTubed this movie through.
No, I actually watched it in full. It's on the Disney Plus. You can watch it. Well, not for free. You have to pay for Disney Plus. I watched it today. Now, I was working, so I did half pay attention. It is the Garfield movie. My notes are not very deep.
No, I thought the rat scene was the best scene because the little mouse came out of nowhere. I believe his name is Lewis. So Lewis came out and was like, because the rats were going to eat him up. They were like fat. He was trying to talk him out. He was like, I'm too fat. And, you know, they're like, oh, we love fat. And then it's just like, you know, mama baby rats, all of them, like, might as well take them all to Applebee's at this point.
Yeah, and they're the ones who guide him to the TV station. So I did remember that scene. I just blended it all together into one long thing I wish I wouldn't have watched. So I get it.
Now, there's one scene in the climax of the movie where all the animals catch up to Happy to take him down.
Correct.
And that the movie could have taken a nice horror turn at that moment when all the rats swarm over him.
You're right. It could have gone. They could have pulled his skin apart like Evil Dead. But that was not going to happen. I mean, that would have been a crazy turn after watching 70 rough minutes of what's the, like, nicest movie we've watched with nothing offensive happening at all. And they watch a man get torn to bits. So that didn't happen.
It's the rated R cut. I was going to talk about it later.
That's the director's cut you have on DVD.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you probably have the steelbook on that one. Yeah, the rats go in. And then what ends up happening is that Garfield takes out an Uzi and is like, you know what? I'm tired of these bugs. Let me get them. And just gets them on, then goes and gets lasagna.
Now, this movie comes in at a tight 80 minutes. Did you want more Garfield?
I thought it was 2 hours. I felt like it was 2 hours. It was at least 2 hours in my mind.
It should be no longer. If, first off, as a kid's movie, you want to stay around an hour because you get... This is for kids that are like, when I say kids movie, I want to make sure I'm very clear. This is for like 5-year-olds. This is not a movie for, like, my kids would not enjoy this movie at all. They'd be like, Dad, why are we watching this? They're 11 and 13. This is not something they're interested in. But it's not, there's also not enough plot going on. It's very basic. It's very simple. Kids movies are unfortunately, they go in like three different buckets. There's the rare occasional kids movie that hits perfectly. That's exactly what you want it to be. I think Sonic the Hedgehog is really good for a kids movie. I enjoy it. It has some stuff for adults, but my kids liked it. It stays fast enough. They watch the whole time. All three movies. Very good. The Mario movie. The kids come out. Not the old one. The new one. Again, a good kids movie. They like the material, whatever. Some Disney ones are all very good, right? But so there's some that hit that mark. There's a bunch that don't, which is kind of what this does, where it's, you know, they're trying to appeal to kids, but they have something like kids. I mean, 1994, it's not like Garfield's new. Even by 1994, he was old news. Like the Peanuts movie that came out. I don't know who that's necessarily targeted for. My kids watched it and were bored by it. And they like the Peanuts Christmas specials, but they were just like, this is long for what this is. And they didn't care. So that's like a missed thing. Or you know, something based on a kid's book that maybe the kids aren't familiar with. But then the third panel is ones, and these are all mainly Pixar, where something has to be incredibly sad. So no matter what happens, there's something incredibly sad that occurs, and I end up crying at a child's movie. This thankfully doesn't do that. So this is a better than that pool of, we watched the, what's it called? The Wild Robot. Wild Robot actually very much liked it.
Did you cry that movie?
I certainly cried at the end of Wild Robot.
You cried at the end of Wild Robot?
I did. I also cried at the end of Iron Giant, so maybe it's just
So now that's reasonable. Like, who didn't cry at the end? Chris, tell me you didn't cry at the end. Like, he said, I'm Superman.
I'm done.
You might as well call it in right now. Like, I'm Superman. I mean, it could have been Duddits. I mean, you could have had that exact scene, and it was amazing.
But that's exactly the case. And did you see The Wild Robot? Because I think that has a similar... It's not quite the same, but it's a similar with a guy. You know, once you have kids, you're kind of like, oh.
Scenes. I saw scenes. I saw like a lot of scenes through. Again, I catch some of these movies if I don't have time to watch them through scenes, through different YouTube scenes. And I'm like, oh, let me. And I watch the ending of Wild Robot. So I do get where you're at. Like, I get where you're at. The beginning and the end. It's a very, but not Iron. Like, Iron Giant like Don Bluth's, like, all dogs go to heaven situation. It was very much like,
oh, it was so sad. But yeah, both these were set. Nothing made me cry at Garfield except that I had wasted so much time.
The scene where Odie, they informed that Odie has cancer.
Did that do it to you? Yeah, or it wasn't like, yeah, he didn't get captioned. You watch him like, God, remember the Sesame Street movie where there's the Bluebird of Happiness thing where you see Big Bird dressed all in blue just sadly singing? Nothing like that happens here. It's just fine. It's fine. It's all
now,
good.
You know what I can't get out of my head right now after what you just did? Is I've got Kermit the Frog sitting on a lily pad singing
also sad.
The song, just doing the banjo, singing the song. And it's just, I don't know the words of it, but I see the sad
It's moment. The rainbow and connection, and we're not going to sing it or I'll be out. I will literally just fall apart.
But there is a great YouTube where he's like, give me that bacon. Where Kermit's like, give me that bacon. Give me that bacon. He's just, give me that bacon. Give me that bacon. It's a great scene. Like, that changes the whole story.
None of this has anything to do with Garfield.
Nothing.
So, the question was, does it run long? And the answer is no, it's a good length.
This alone should tell you what we are reviewing, my man. I'm just going to leave it out there. Okay.
Why don't we switch over to we sort of hinted at it. Let's talk about the special effects of this movie. That's really what this movie is about, is that they were testing out certain CGI effects to see if they could pull them off. How do they do with Garfield?
Well, you know, Bill Murray recorded this in his apartment while he was filming The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. So just, there's a fun fact for you. He actually completed that fully in his apartment. So this is Bill Murray just being Bill Murray. Like, you could have slapped his face anywhere in that movie. I'd be like, oh, that's Bill Murray. But instead, we have Garfield, and it just, I don't know. In some CGI scenes, you're like, okay, when he's on his own and when he's interacting with other animals, you're like, cool. As soon as someone attempts to pick this cat up, you're like, where'd the cat go?
Yeah, that's any kind of interaction with people wasn't quite where it needs to be at. But I was still pretty impressed for the time that this movie came out, that it's, you know, 2004 or whatever. Like, it still looks okay, and he actually looks surprisingly not terrible. Like, I know I mentioned Sonic the Hedgehog. Remember when the first one came out and beforehand they had, like, what the previous CG Sonic looked like? Everyone's like, oh my God! Garfield looks okay. He looks all right. I actually was pretty impressed with how his fur looks in general. Like, when he's actually, like, moving, they do animate him kind of like how a cat moves. It's not just like a cartoon. Like, he moves like a cat. When he gets down off a chair, he does a thing.
Green suit a cat? Do you think they actually put the little green suit on a cat? Because that would have been no.
No cat would let you do that. They would just sit there angrily.
You don't know that, though.
I do. I've had cats my entire life. They would never do that.
It was a guy in a blue suit who was doing all the moves. So, like, actually, it's the scene where Odie and Garfield are fighting over the chair, it's a guy just knocking the dog off over and over again. And the dog would just jump back up again. And he just knocked the dog back off again over and over again. And then they would CGI put Garfield into the movie. So just some guy beating up a dog.
Does that mean for all the scenes where John picked him up, that John picked up like a small man?
Yes. Guy's only 3 feet tall, lifts him up.
Probably the guy from Willow. Probably the because he seems like he'd be a good fit. Or the little guy from Mini-Me, because he would be a really easy fit. He would actually put him in a pocket. No, what I was going to say was there a movie called Dogs vs. Cats? Dogs are spies, cats are evil. It's like a live action, really interesting movie. There's a puppy in it. I don't know. It's just a great movie. Now, they did dress up cats in that movie, and they look so realistic and angry at the same time.
Yeah, cats hate dressing up. They don't like it.
Cats hate people.
I don't know what we're talking about anymore. I've totally lost track of what we were talking about.
We were talking about CGI and how amazing the CGI for was its time.
Garfield looks good. I think the dogs and animals are doing, like, they're just like Odie. All of Odie was actually just this dog. It wasn't any CGI. It was just the dog. And that's fine. The neighborhood cats, though, that talked to Garfield had, like, CGI faces and eyes and stuff. I didn't like that at all. That was creepy. But it didn't look as bad as you'd think. It didn't look like when Conan O'Brien used to interview celebrities and have the bottom of their mouth move. It wasn't quite that bad, although that would have been hilarious. But it was okay for what it was. And I'm glad they didn't go the route of something like Milo and Otis, where they would just have an actual cat and a dog, and they'd be like, oh, that's Garfield because he's an orange cat, because Garfield does enough things that he's too human to just have a cat play Garfield.
I was watching something about sort of an interview about it. They said the amount of CGI effects on Garfield were double the amount they spent on Gollum for the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, they got to get their money back. That's like flying on Spirit, just realizing you paid a Delta price and know you got a Spirit experience.
Well, they cut costs in a lot of places, such as the house where they live. That's Peter Hewitt's house.
That does explain how the cartoonist can afford it then, because it wasn't the cartoonist's house.
So I want to go over a couple of potential castings that they could have put in this. Would it have made it a better film? First one is Jim Carrey as John Arbuckle.
Scheduling conflicts, I don't believe he wanted to do it, but I think he would have upstaged Bill Murray, because Jim Carrey can't help himself. You know, he just cannot help himself, especially in this with this type of material.
Yeah, even when he's supposed to be a normal actor, he's still over. Not in a bad way. Like, the movies where he's supposed to not be Jim Carrey, he does, I think, actually a really good job. But he still outshines almost everybody else in the cast. So yeah, it would be too strong of a John Arbuckle.
He also had Ben Stiller as John Arbuckle.
Nope. Also same problem.
I think he could have done it, though. I think if it's a kid's movie, it would be one of those things where you're like, why would Ben Stiller do this? But it would be fine.
Now, our favorite character of Happy Chapman. You're talking about using Michael Ironside.
That would have been dope, because then we would have saw the saws come out at the end and been like, the amount of enjoyment that would have come out of that collar at the end would be like, I'm going to make you, let's try the settings on this thing. It would have been Total Recall all over again right there, but with a cat.
Too menacing. Again, this is a kid's movie, and Happy Chapman is just kind of safe enough that you're like, he doesn't really look dangerous, but he does some stuff where you're like, he's not a nice guy. Then it works.
You wouldn't want him around your kids. No offense to all fans of this guy, but at the end of the day, you're not going to want that guy around your kids. Happy Chapman gives off that weird, creepy, I belong to extra groups type vibe.
I don't want anyone around my kids, including me. Not for the same reason. Just want to be very clear. I just don't want him around me.
Now, for Garfield, they had two other possibilities. John Goodman.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally, I could see John Goodman.
Makes sense.
And Jack Nicholson.
Really? Nah.
That would have been cool.
It would have been interesting, but it would not have been good. It would have just been, Bill Murray worked for me because the cartoon version sounded like Bill Murray. No, he didn't sound like Jack Nicholson.
Now, imagine Michael Ironside playing alongside Jack Nicholson in this movie. Would that have become a terrifying movie for children?
No, I'm just thinking of the Simpsons intro where Homer is like doing the Miami Vice reboot with the chair as his partner. Remember that? Everybody's obviously seen the Simpsons. Did you see the intro?
Never heard of the Simpsons.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes it damn difficult. How do you know Normal but not Homer? I don't
know. I know. The Simpsons.
Somebody needs to write this man a letter.
I was joking.
No, but do you guys remember?
The Miami Vice knockoff they did with it. It was around the couch.
That's my favorite one. I want that as my screensaver. But here's the thing. That's what we would have got, which honestly would have put this movie into a whole stratosphere. It would have been like Shrek, only better.
Now, there are a lot of different possibilities for Liz. There's only a couple I want to hit. Angelina Jolie.
I don't know who that is.
What?
Who did you say?
Angelina Jolie.
Angelina, that's not what you said. I know who you're now. You meant Angelina Jolie. I got it now. I don't know what you said the first time. You should replay that back. It was not the name you thought you said.
That's exactly what he said. He literally said Angelina Jolie, and you're like, nope. Who's that? Nope. This is such a straight line. It went right through. Oh, my God.
It was not who I heard.
This is a long night, gentlemen.
It'd be on me.
This is what happens when you put Garfield in the rotation.
This might be our shortest episode ever, but it feels like it's going on for hours.
Just like Garfield. So it's appropriate.
Natalie Portman.
Yeah, that was the same effect. Same effect.
Same effect, I think, yeah. I'm just agreeing.
You just agreeing to move it along?
I'm like, just, please, anything to stop
what,
talking about
what Garfield. Character are we actually talking about? Just so I know who we're trying to replace with.
John Arbuckle.
Yeah. Okay, then yeah, I would definitely take a Natalie Portman. She would make the whole amazing scene. She would do something awesome with it.
I don't even know where to go with that one. So, for this movie, guys, you know, as always, what do you love about it? What could they have done better?
Well, they brought Garfield to life. It was the first real live action attempt at bring, and it probably other than A Tale of Two Kitties, which was the follow-up. I don't know if you know that, but I believe John Goodman was somewhere in that one. It was a British. He was replacing a British Garfield. That was why it's A Tale of Two Kitties. Just thought I'd bring that out there. But what I loved about the film was that it was Garfield come to life. What I hated about the film was that it was Garfield come to life.
Yeah, Garfield does not work well as a full-length movie character. You don't have enough story there. That's why three panels is great. Eight might be pushing it too far, but I still laughed a lot of eight panels. But 80 minutes, that's too much. The cartoon show worked because it wasn't even like a full half an hour of Garfield. It was like a 5 to 10 minute Garfield and a 5 to 10 minute U.S. Acres, and that was the whole episode. So this is just a long time for a character that's built for quick setup, punchline, over. Like it's a tough movie to film without either just redoing redoing bits that you would have seen from the comic or going completely up the deep end. They did.
They made lasagna. They made lasagna. They actually made lasagna. And then I'm just thinking to myself, what kind of irresponsible pet owner makes their cat lasagna? He made him a whole baked ass lasagna. Like, I don't even get that good a meal in my own home.
I think you're right, Jeremy. Is that this character is built for three panels? It really is, and it's hard to sort of build a full length movie around that. And so many characters fall prey to that.
I think the only way you make it work is if you do something that's like a Wreck-It Ralph, where you pull in all these other comics and you have this overarching story about comics going out of business or something where you can fit all of it in, right? That's how you make Garfield a full-length movie. Not that anyone should do that. Please do not. But that's what would make it work. This is just like...
Wow.
Yeah, that's the only way you make it work.
I like your idea. I actually... Jeremy, I think we may have just broke new ground here on Movie Smash. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we may have just come up with the next new movie idea. What if we take the 90s newspapers and get them coming out to save themselves because everybody wants to put them in, like, landfills? And you get Garfield coming out. You get the Far Side. You got Peanuts out there. You got him. You know. You got Calvin and Hobbes coming out there doing their thing. I just think we just broke ground. Jeremy, amazing.
See, if one good thing comes out of that, that's it. This is what it is.
I don't think that's a good thing coming out of this. I mean, there have been a ton of Garfield movies at this point, animated, even live action. They brought it back a couple years ago. I mean, does this world?
Yeah, but that one's all CG, right? The 2024 one is entirely CG.
I have no idea.
It's actually like a cartoon. It's not even. I don't even know if it's CG, but it's definitely like the newer cartoons. How they're all.
Oh yeah, yeah. Today, okay.
Right?
Yep.
It's basically like those kind of cartoons, like Disney Pixar, like Wild Robot, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not Iron Giant quality, but it's Wild Robot. You know, it doesn't have the heart of Hogarth, but it definitely does pull in some interesting stuff.
I mean, well, my question is: does the world need more Garfield movies?
No. That's a real quick note. It didn't need this one. Like, really, Garfield is you know when Garfield's perfect, Garfield's perfect in comics, like we already mentioned, and then on those seasonal specials they'd had every year. It's Christmas special, it's Halloween special, outstanding, should have stuck with that. That's where you got key Garfield. That's how you get a plot, a 25-minute plot about going to John's grandmother's house or something, and that's fine. That was all great. I loved it. That's what you should keep it to. I don't need this long, drawn-out, realistic Garfield story. That's not fun. I'm good with that.
How did we address the cliffhanger for everyone who goes out and watches this movie, how did Happy end up with a hairpiece and back on the news after he got caught?
No, he's got a twin.
That's his twin brother.
And that's why he was all upset because he was like, I was the older brother and the more handsome brother, and now he's off doing the news and I'm doing weather at this podunk station or whatever. And I'm not even sure he was a weatherman. I don't know what he did, but I think he was a weatherman.
And the very end of the movie when his younger brother's watching him from his New York Post. He says, oh, that's my idiot brother. And he logs off. Like, I'm done.
I was curious because I thought he bailed out of jail. Like, that part must have been, now I may have fast forwarded through where they reference, but you guys that
happened early on. That's when you first meet Happy Chapman, and he's talking about whatever he's doing on
the news.
But
you meet him at the dog show. That's when you meet him at the dog show.
They're watching him on TV early in the movie. That's the connection.
You must be watching this by YouTube clips. You need to spend more time on these movies.
No,
watch them at least two to three times before coming on the show.
I was literally doing the same thing Jeremy did. I was typing emails and watching this movie, typing, watching, fast forwarding. And I was looking up at it, but I did, you know, look, I caught some very critical juxtaposition. I know what went on in the train station. Like I know, and I, you guys certainly don't remember the pound scene where he's like got, you know, that Sir Ronald opened up the thing and was like, go.
Oh, yeah, no.
You know, and there's all those good things in the dogs. And then when someone's like, hydrant, and they were like, don't get confused by the hydrant. And everyone kept running.
Yeah, actually, at the train station, my son was screaming at the TV. That's not how train stations work. And also, why do you have one button that opens all the cages?
Oh, yeah. Also, that whole train scene, Garfield, it basically almost causes a national incident. And everyone's like, there's a button that just stops all the trains. Like, well, first off, that doesn't exist. There's no button that just stops everything that fast. That can't work. But yeah. And then when they're like, oh, yeah, well, it looks like this train's coming back. How did you not see the rest of everything? Like, oh, yeah, everyone almost died. But also this train is coming back.
It was like a 10-train head-on collision.
Well, he did, in all fairness, he did press the button again to keep them moving. Like, he did stop the
action. No, he stopped everything, and then he just moved that one back, and then he left.
Oh.
But he still stopped everyone from dying, so that's good. It wasn't like he crashed 9 trains and saved Odie's train.
Yet again, this movie would take a different twist if, one, Happy gets eaten by rats, and two, 10-train pile-up, train crash pile-up.
Then you have Cemetery Man, but with Garfield.
So, I guess the real question, guys, is should others go find and enjoy this classical piece along with us?
If you literally just want to feel good and bad about yourself at the same time, only if you follow up with Iron Giant.
Yeah, it is a passable kids movie. There are many worse kids movies. But again, what kid today in 2025 is excited about a Garfield? But if they were, this is harmless and totally fine. You could put it on and not pay attention to it, do something else and not come back. And they're like, Dad, what's the Holocaust? You're like, Jesus Christ, what did I put on while you were out in the room? So this is good. It's all very, very friendly for kids.
Did you get that from experience? Because I feel like that just came. You've had to answer that question before.
So YouTube is a dangerous place to let your kids just on YouTube. And it wasn't the Holocaust, but it was like they were watching something that was like, and this is when they were real young. And it was, you know, coloring videos. It was something they were watching. And literally, I was like, they're fine. And then I came back in the room and they're watching children work in factories. I'm like, what happened? I don't know. Like realistic videos and probably actual videos of children working in factories, like accidents occurring. Like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
I do have experience with that. Yeah. Well, that's exactly what it is. And it was,
that's the algorithm.
It's all bad. I know it now. And I knew it then. I just thought there was no way for these drawing videos are going to go to that, but I was wrong. I was very wrong. So yeah, this is a harmless kids movie. If you're a massive Garfield fan, like if you bought Jim Davis's house fully furnished, this is a good reason to watch Garfield. That's it, though. That's the two reasons to watch this movie.
But he does, just so the crowd knows, he does have number one Nermal fan on his intro. So there's clearly a pure love. Like, I'm honestly thinking somewhere in your house, you either have a plushie, a softie, a book, or a poster of Nermal.
I wish I did. In fact, I wish I had all those Garfield comics because I think they're pretty funny. The basic 3-strip Garfield comic.
Well, I think Jeremy did such a great job in answering that question. I would just say I concur. Do I think it will come on accidentally? Perhaps, you know, if TBS has a Garfield moment. I do think people want to see A Tale of Two Kitties. I think this is a reasonable start, though. You know, I think that's interesting. There's a lot of Garfield stuff out there. This may have been a bit much. I think Bill Murray probably put it a little too much hammy, while the rest of it just sort of went in a completely nonsensical direction. But that's a kid's movie. I guess that's what they do, except Iron Giant.
Now, have you guys seen the movie Zombieland?
Yes.
And Bill Murray's in that movie, and he says the only two things he regrets in life is this movie and the sequel.
That makes sense.
But guys, how would you rate this movie?
I think I'm not even going to give it a thumb. I'm going to give it a baked lasagna. I'm just going to give it a baked lasagna.
It's not even a paw up, though. It's like a paw sideways covered in lasagna. It's not. I don't recommend this movie. I mean, like I said, if you're looking for a kid's movie, it's harmless. If you're the biggest Garfield fan on the planet, then yeah, go for it. I guess it's fine. If you're a purist, though, you're probably very upset because this is not Odie's origin story at all, in fact. Because Odie was not just adopted by John. Odie was left by John's previous roommate, Lyman, who vanished without a trace. And now they've retroactively written it so that John's just been Garfield's owner, or Odie's owner this whole time.
That's an SVU story.
Actually, there's your Garfield movie. What happened to Lyman? Now I'm in. I'm back in. We do need another Garfield movie.
That's the third movie.
The Truth About Lyman. A Tale of Two Kitties and Desperately Seeking Lyman. I'm in.
Now, that would be a trilogy that you could make work. If you overarched and remastered, then you have a whole trilogy that works.
So I would give it a slice of lasagna where the person forgot to use no-bake lasagna noodles and use real normal noodles. So it's a little crunchy when you're biting into it.
A little crunchy. Interesting.
So guys, before we head on out, though, I do have a mailbag for us. I've been saving this one because, you know.
I'm waiting for an episode that only had 10 minutes of content, so I have exactly. Some mail for it.
Yeah, we're actually so far ahead of our. I'm looking at the time, gentlemen. Good job.
We managed to pull this off.
This was actually reasonable. You got this, and it's only because you picked Garfield.
I didn't pick Garfield. So
Jeremy is the hero of today's episode.
I selected Garfield from a list of 5 films. You know what? That doesn't mind. Yes, I take the blame for picking Garfield. I was tired of superhero movies and wanted to do something different.
This comment that was sent to us is kind of fitting a little bit. Love the show. What movie irrevocably fucked you all up? No additional explanations, no descriptions. Just tell me the movie you saw as a kid that haunted you. It was Superman 3 for me.
Exorcist?
That's a good one. The original Evil Dead is the one that screwed me up. I'd love to get into it, but he said not to. And we talked about Iron Giant, but I wasn't a kid when I saw it. I was a full-grown man crying at the Iron Giant. So.
I would say this might seem strange. It was Gremlins because I snuck into the theater to go see it. And no, I was not
Gremlins
the right
is way
movie.
Scarier than you. Not even scarier. Gremlins has a few peak scenes that I was watching against my kids wanted to watch it. And I got to this certain point. I was like, nope. Guess what, guys? We're going to watch Gremlins 2. And that's totally not a surprise that Gremlins 1 would be the same answer.
Now that makes me think of the movie Demon Knight. That movie I snuck into theaters to see. That was crazy as crap. But no, honestly, the only movie that really freaked me out is The Exorcist. That's the only one to this day that like I can't watch the unrated version.
Didn't they make a remake of that movie?
They made a lot of those movies. Yeah, they made a lot. That movie's gone a lot of different directions, which are not as bad, honestly, as today's. But it was just how they presented that movie at the time, way it did.
Perfect. It's perfect as it is. Just like Psycho, the original Psycho is perfect as it is. You don't need to remake these things. They're good in the original format. Whether or not it's because of the limitations didn't matter, very creepy.
Actually, one movie kind of messed with my head a little bit was The Blair Witch when it came out. And the only reason was a buddy of mine got an advanced copy on a VHS tape that was handwritten. Blair Witch. And Jeremy, you know, we're from Maryland and that movie takes place in Maryland. Yeah, and all the marketing was around that. This is based upon a true story with found footage. So before they come out,
did you go? Have you been to that Blair Witch site in Maryland? I lived there. I didn't go there because obviously black folks don't need to go to haunted places. We don't go down on Star Trek vessels. We don't go camping. We don't go to haunted places. Those are the 3 things that are in the code book.
No, I did not. They changed the name of that town. But nonetheless, so we saw it in a college room, lights out, putting a VHS tape in with the handwritten Blair Witch on there. So watching, like, is this real? Like, how is it possible?
There's some great, I mean, I enjoy found footage movies. Even the bad ones I enjoy, but good ones that really hit it right where you're not quite sure. Even though you know it's not real, you're still like, ooh, I need to know what happens. This is cool. How'd they do this or whatever? I enjoy those.
It made me stay up late. It made me stay up and have some coffee. After I walked out of the theater, I was like, is that real? That's probably the only movie that left me with the, like, did that just actually happen? And so like the ending scene, the whole build up to the ending scene, that sort of left me. But honestly, if we're on that Blair Witch moment, I think we can't not talk about Book of Shadows. They did make it completely different, but I just thought it was a better overall representation of Blair Witch.
So we can actually not have to talk about that by saying, Jeremy, where can people find you?
Oh, people can find me at retrovania.net every like twice a month. We do video game episodes. Of course, I'm here every 2 weeks, and I've been on the 20XX podcast. Part of the One Rad podcast feed, talking about handheld Mega Man games. We most recently talked about Mega Man 3 in Roman numerals 3, which is how you know it's the Game Boy and not the Nintendo version.
And Fergal, besides watching Blair Witch movies, where can people find you?
Oh, I mean, you know, we're definitely getting our nerd on on Facebook. We're quietly learning to get ourselves back out there. We're working on our collections and building them out. I'm still working on a comic book right now, so I've got that coming together. I've been developing and redeveloping an idea for a great story. It's going to kind of combine a whole lot of different things into it. Very similar to kind of think of Kingsman versus Beekeeper versus different things along that line. It's going to be very cool.
Starring Garfield. So it's going to be
starring Garfield, voiced by Bill Murray.
I would love it if like they all have a badge with, you know, Garfield's face on it. That's how they all identify each other.
Thank you, gentlemen.
And for me, you can always find me at Off Panel Creations. We're always over there building some piece of nerdy furniture. I want to thank you, our listeners, for spending some time with us. And if you want to let us know and send us a comment that somehow this is the best animated cat movie out there, send us a note over at movie-smash.com, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. Thank you again for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. This has been Movie Smash with Chris Roberts, Jeremy Parmentier, and Fergal Amayo, produced by me, Chris Roberts, executive produced by Off Panel Creations, LLC. Movie clips provided by the respective studios. You can rate and review the show at Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You might even find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for us? Visit us at movie-smash.com and send us a note. It too can be read on a future episode. If you haven't already, please subscribe to Movie Smash wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Oh my God, don't do it. I'll be done. I'm done. Out. This episode's over. Close it off.